case of the day is number 07-1863, Seta against the Attorney General. Mr. Wichmer.
May it please the Court. My name is Timothy Wichmer, and I represent the petitioner Pellavon Seta. We would respectfully ask the Court to vacate the decision of the BIA and to remand the case back to the BIA with instructions to either terminate or continue the case to allow the adjustment of status application to proceed in front of the USCIS, or in the alternative, to remand the case to the immigration judge with instructions for a merits hearing on the subject of adjustment of status. Finally, in the alternative, we would ask the Court to hold this case in abeyance until such time as the USCIS does adjudicate the 45 petition that's currently before it.
Mr. Wichmer, this case does implicate, of course, our pretty recent decision in the Ali case. And could you perhaps enlighten us with your view, at least, as to why that case is not applicable and the exception is?
I apologize, Your Honor. I'm not aware of the Ali case and cannot comment on it.
I'll let you proceed, though, with your main argument, please.
I'm very sorry, Your Honor. The agency erred as a matter of law, because it failed to give effect to the plain language of the Adjustment of Status statute, which is 8 U.S.C. 1255, in this case 8 U.S.C. 1255A. Either the IJ must have jurisdiction to hear the I-485, or the agency has to continue or terminate to allow that to be adjudicated in front of the USCIS.
You know, what I don't understand about your position is, you know, assuming we have jurisdiction here and so on, why the this case isn't a separate and independent thing from what's going on before the USCIS. You finally did appear to follow up on the statement in the BIA's order in this case saying that the request for adjustment of status belonged before USCIS, and I gather that's been filed and is now pending. But it seems to me here, this petition for review is before us. It's a denial for continuance and a denial for request for termination. Maybe that's something the Ali case is about, continuances. It's also a denial for request of termination. So I don't see why we don't deny this petition for review. And if you want to ask for an administrative stay before USCIS, as far as I know, there's nothing that prevents you from doing that.
Your Honor, there's a lot there in your statement, so I'd like to address it fully. First of all, this case arose before the regulations were changed in 06. At that time, any application to the USCIS for adjustment of status would have been rejected because the client was in removal. The only way you could have adjustment heard at that time was to present it to the immigration judge. We did that, and the judge pre-terminated that application and did not allow it to be filed. At the time of the appeal to the BIA, again, the regulations had still not been changed. Once they changed, we actually asked for a remand from the BIA to be allowed to pursue it in front of the USCIS. When they denied that remand, they also ordered removal. And at that point, because he had a final order of removal, the USCIS cannot adjudicate this to final conclusion unless there is an order from the BIA or from this court. And so,
but what do you make of this sentence? I'm looking at the March 16, 2007 order from the BIA, where they say the respondent must pursue any application for adjustment of status with the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services independent of these removal proceedings.
Yes, Your Honor.
This is after the amendments had happened.
Correct. There are two reasons why we did not immediately file. Number one, despite that language, it amounts to what is essentially a shell game, because once there was a final administrative order, the administrative agency would not have considered to, because granting an adjustment of status, let's say hypothetically USCIS gets it and the examiner wants to grant it. If they grant it, that makes a person a permanent resident. They're here forever. But if there's a final order of removal, they can't do that.
But can't you, I mean, it seems to me USCIS either maybe has to go and spend 5 years, I don't know, or maybe why can't USCIS take measures to harmonize these two parts of the immigration scheme?
I think that's essentially our claim, is that in order to have a reasonable interpretation of the regulation in light of the statute in Sukar and the cases that followed it, it has to either allow adjudication to conclusion before there's an order of removal, that we would be fine with that, or it has to allow the immigration judge to do as they've done for decades, which is to allow adjustment of status in front of the immigration judge. Furthermore, with regard...
That's not what Homeland Security wants to do anymore. It's really not us, up to us to tell them to have a different administrative structure.
With all due respect, I think it is up to the court to make sure that the choice they make is reasonable under the circumstances or it's not a violation of due process. In this particular case, remember, this court could accept the rationale of the regulations on a going-forward basis, and yet in a case where the adjustment of status was applied for with the IJ prior to the regulatory changes, in this particular case, it is an unreasonable interpretation because it effectively denies adjustment of status. That's what the, Ben Slimane, I don't know the exact pronunciation, but, Your Honor, I believe that you were on that panel, and that does stand for the position that there is a due process interest here. There is jurisdiction to hear this because in this case, as in that, the actions of the judge and the administrative agency effectively deny the opportunity to be heard on adjustment of status. To say, well, let's ask for an administrative stay, those things just aren't granted once there's a final order.
Well, and could I just focus in, though? I mean, you're saying it completely precludes adjustment of status, but it was my understanding that people could apply for adjustment of status even from points outside the United States. Doesn't it really mean that he would just have to stay in
adjustment of status, by definition, Your Honor, is for a person who's in the United States who can adjust. Subhan versus Ashcroft acknowledged that once a person is outside, i.e. has that final order and is out, it's consular processing. It's not adjustment of status. And the liberty interest is that he'll have to wait 5 years or else try to get a waiver, which is not mandatory but is only discretionary.
Right.
You have an agency who already tried to find him guilty of committing fraud, and this court held that there wasn't any basis for that. Practically speaking, in these circumstances, he's been denied the opportunity for adjustment of status. There's no way that the USCIS can actually give him this relief, adjudicate it favorably in any chance, 0%, as long as there's a final order. So therefore, you know, I'm chagrined that I can't address Ali, but to the extent that Ben Slimane is still good law, this court has jurisdiction and the agency has to provide a mechanism, either through the USCIS, and that means giving enough time, exercising favorable discretion. Gonzalez versus Oregon, I know I'm into my rebuttal, I'll just finish up with this. The agency's intent at the time of regulation is promulgated is key to a subsequent interpretation. The agency changed these regulations not to restrict adjustment, but rather to bring the agency in compliance with SUCAR and all the cases that followed it, and therefore it has to be interpreted to allow a reasonable opportunity for adjustment of status. And rather than focusing on the mere fact of the USCIS application, which we've recently filed, this case for adjustment has been before the court, the immigration court, from the beginning, and we've been denied the opportunity to pursue it. And I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Witchmer. We'll hear now from Mr. Mencken.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning. Jeffrey L. Mencken, Department of Justice for the Attorney General. Your Honor, Mr. Seda has not been deprived of any opportunity to do anything, and I would agree with Judge Wood's suggestion that there's nothing before the court really to decide any longer. The application that is pending, and I can bring the court up to date on what information I have on that, is outside of the removal proceedings. But
could you clarify? Mr. Whitmer said that, in fact, if the final order of removal stands, if this court denies the petition for review, then that, as I understand him, functionally operates as a denial of the request pending before USCIS for adjustment of status.
Well, I can't speak to what will happen with the pending application.
Well, but he's saying as a matter of law, if there is a final order of removal in place, that it's automatically, unless I'm overreading what he said, I thought that's what he said as a matter of law. Now, is that your understanding of the law?
If Mr. Seda is removed, there are remedies where he can seek a waiver and does have remedy down the road. But let me point out.
But just for right now, if we deny this petition for review, and then somebody sends a copy of that order over to USCIS and says, look, Mr. Seda's petition for review is now denied, there's a final order of removal in place, does USCIS take out a rubber stamp and put denied on the application for adjustment of status?
My understanding, Your Honor, is if that occurs, yes, he would have a problem. But this is a problem
You're not answering my question. Is that the way the law and the regulations work? I can't believe that there isn't an answer to that.
Yes, if there is a final order of removal, Mr. Seda would not be able to apply without seeking a waiver from the Secretary.
Okay, but, so his next step, if we were to deny this petition for review, to the extent we have jurisdiction over it, his next step, assuming he didn't get a bag and baggage letter, would be to seek a waiver from the Secretary?
I believe so, Your Honor, yes. And if there is a legitimate reason for that, that would be considered then. But let's take a step back. We're at not even the 11th hour. It's a minute before midnight. Mr. Seda could have applied for adjustment of status as of May of 2006 when the regulation was changed. And he could have applied when the BIA told him, this is what you do, in March of 2007. And it's not until this case is briefed and scheduled for argument that an application comes before anybody for consideration. If there's Mr. Seda's in a box, it's a box that he has put himself in and sealed himself. I don't know that we need to create a remedy under these circumstances for an alien who does not follow a reasonable procedure that is clearly set forth for him.
Do you have any idea how long it takes CIS to adjudicate these applications once the I-130 has been approved?
I'm afraid I can't speak to that in general terms. I can point out that my information, and it's outside the record, but I can represent that there was an I-485 adjustment application that Mr. Seda filed, and DHS informed me that it was denied. The application that the counsel's 28J letter refers to appears to have been something filed subsequent to that denial. This is another application, as far as I understand it, and I can supplement that in filings if need be.
We're
playing out the string, but if Mr. Seda had just done what the regulation says, he's had an opportunity. He's deprived of nothing. It says apply to USCIS. He could have done that as of May of 2006. Now what do we do for someone who doesn't follow the procedure? Do we hold the door open? I don't think we can do that. It's really outside of these removal proceedings. And if that's unfortunate, that's unfortunate. But what do you do for an alien who doesn't follow the procedure? I don't know what more to say about that. I would be happy to address any questions that the court may have, but Mr. Seda is not without remedy. He can seek a waiver. He's where he is because that's where he put himself. I can't do more than that. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Mencken. Mr. Wichmann, perhaps you could enlighten us as to the status of this application for adjustment of status and verify the counsel's updating us. Is this a second application for adjustment of status? Has one already been denied?
The previous application for adjustment of status was denied for the very grounds that he was in removal proceedings and he was an arriving alien and ineligible. Based upon the previous misunderstanding of the law that was overruled by Sukar, it was denied a long time ago. In 2005, when the case was before the IJ, we had applied for adjustment of status. I think it's very important that even though nothing was filed with USCIS at that time, we've been maintaining the right to adjustment of status throughout. As soon as the regulations change, we file a motion to remand asking for the opportunity to do that. And to say reasonable procedure, I mean, at the time the regulations were filed, it was unknown how these regulations would affect the people whose cases were in the pipeline already. It wasn't as though we're looking 2 years later and we see now how it works. I might have handled it differently knowing now what I know now in other cases. But at the time, we had a request from the BIA to allow us to do exactly what the regulations said. The BIA's decision did not say you have to first file with the USCIS and then come to us. My time is up. Can I finish up?
You still have a minute there.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. The removal order is a ground of inadmissibility, Judge Wood. Therefore, it would not be allowed. The waiver request to be allowed back in the country has to occur after he's back in Albania. So there is a real hardship in the deprivation of liberty. Nothing to decide anymore. Ben Sulaiman said the adjustment of status denial means removal. My client is detained currently. There's a temporary stay in effect. They tried to remove him. In fact, when the court issued the temporary stay, they were within days of actually removing him. They have no intention of allowing Mr. Seda to walk about while the USCIS handles this. And as soon as they get a hold of him, they want to get rid of him. There really isn't a meaningful opportunity for him to pursue this unless this court takes action either on its own motion or remands the case with instructions. In effect, what they're asking the procedure here to you to consider reasonable is actually illusory. There isn't enough time for my client to pursue unless you take action. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wichmer. We thank both counsel for their submissions today. The case is taken under advisement. The court